Hello, everyone, and welcome to the No Wellness Wankery podcast. My name is Lindy Cowan, and it's so good to have you here. Today, I'm joined by a very, very special guest, someone I think you're going to get really excited about. I'm pretty excited about this. Today, I've got in the studio with me Alice Zislavsky. So if you haven't heard about Alice, she's kind of like, she's a champion of all things veg, and that's something I love about her, especially because we've only got 5% of Aussies who are eating enough vegetables. In the space of a decade, Alice has gone from high school teacher to releasing an internationally award-winning and best-selling book, which you may have heard about. This is the blockbuster success, and it's the very epic, I think it's 450-page cookbook called In Praise of Veg. Now, this is kind of, if you haven't seen it, a definitive guide on how to make veggies the center of your plate, which, you know I'm so on board with. And now she's continuing her good work. She's a columnist, a radio presenter, and she's now releasing her second book, The Joy of Better Cooking. Now, I spent my weekend obsessing over this book, tugging on my husband's shirt, trying to get him to flick and look through all the books. I'm holding the book now. It has got lots of little post-it notes of all the recipes that I want to try. And this morning, I started my day with the Bersha Muesli that comes from this recipe book. So I want you to check it out. And welcome to the show, Alice.
Yay. Thank you. Good to be here, Lindy.
Thanks for coming. I love anyone who loves vegetables, who loves food, is a friend of mine. And I think what I love about you is you kind of give us this sense that anyone can be a cook. In fact, you're probably better at cooking than you think you are, that it's okay to make mistakes. You don't have to be a perfectionist, and that done is better than perfect. So I feel like all these things, I have lots of love for them. But the question I have for you is, did you always start off being an incredible cook, or did you start off being a bit of a dud like everyone?
Well, I started off, I wouldn't say I was a dud, but I started off dabbling, and it was things like I was using the microwave, I was grabbing, the bags of dim sims from the freezer aisle. I would have been probably 12, 13 years old. I thought that was like the utmost peak of my culinary skill was these dim sims, bit of water in the bottom of the bowl to make sure that they steamed in the microwave, and sweet chili sauce, again, from a jar. And if someone had told me at that point, that's not cooking, you should be making everything from scratch, what are you thinking? I would have gone into my shell, and I never would have tried the next thing, which was stirring boiling water into pasta Alfredo packets, again, from those classic continental boxes from the 90s. And then I moved to packet cakes. Again, if someone had said to me, that's not how you bake, I would have thought, okay, well, then maybe I should stop. Maybe I'm not good enough. But at no point did anyone say, you aren't cooking. And that's why I never stopped.
Thank goodness for that, because I feel like when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to cooking, we've set the bar so high that it's almost unattainable for anyone to just even have a crack, get involved. And I guess what you're saying is, sometimes even just combining ingredients, you might not think of that as cooking, but that's a beautiful place to start.
Assembly is cooking. Putting together a bunch of stuff in a bowl, tossing it together with a dressing. It's not just a cook, it is a salad. So... Yeah, and that's great. If that's where you want to start, and if that's something that you can add to your day every day, then you're already winning.
Awesome. So what mistakes are people making when it comes to making vegetables? Why do you think we don't eat enough vegetables?
I think the main kind of issue is that people expect vegetables to taste a certain way, which they don't have to taste that way. And a lot of people kind of expect vegetables to be something that they should eat rather than something that they want to eat. But all of that expectation can be shaved away very quickly by actually making vegetables taste delicious and realizing that they can. So it's kind of like resetting our expectations for the bar to be higher rather than sort of having this low bar of, oh yes, they're an afterthought. They're something that I have to eat because they're good for me, not because I feel like them today.
Spot on. And I think with nutritionism, they have this habit of making vegetables taste really bland and boring. For many years, we were told not to include things like salad dressing on our salads because of shock horror, all the calories and how scary it is. But even just adding some salad dressing can help you absorb some of the nutrients like A, D, E, and K. So I'm all with you there. So one of the things I noticed in the joy of better cooking is how obsessed you are with flavor and flavoring things beautifully and different cook methods that aren't actually scary. So what are some tips that you have for making veggies taste better?
You're right. I am obsessed with flavor because we only have a certain amount of meals in our lifetime, YOLO. So why not make every opportunity for eating something as delicious as possible? And you don't have to overthink it. You mentioned salad dressing, you know, making sure that you taste as you go, knowing that before you add your oil to your dressing, you add your seasoning to the vinegar or to the acid. So it might be lemon juice, it might be red wine vinegar, it might be balsamic, it might be apple cider vinegar. You add your salt and pepper to that, dissolve, then you add your oil. And that way you create this really great emulsion and it's actually better seasoned. You'll find you need to use less salt that way, but you get a more robustly flavored salad. That's for raw vegetables. And for raw vegetables, a really sharp knife. It's kind of like when you're watching somebody filleting a fish for sashimi. The sharpness of that blade will impact the experience of flavor of the fish. Same goes for veg. So whether you're cutting your tomatoes or your tuna, have one good sharp chef's knife. Then in terms of your pan, it's the same as steak, goes for veg. Heat the pan really, really well to smoking if you're making a stir fry or if you're char grilling your asparagus or your Brussels sprouts or your broccolini. All of that needs to have a really nice hot pan so that it doesn't sweat. It's almost like people need to give the same amount of attention to plant-based ingredients or to vegetables as they do to the animal proteins that they're buying. You know, treat your meat like your ribeye. Treat your veg like your ribeye, I should say.
Yeah, because there is so much love, so much many marinades, and we really care. We put meat at the center of all our meals. And I guess what you're saying is let's flip this. And all these items that you're recommending, these aren't crazily expensive, hard to find things. These are basic kitchen things that I can't believe how many people have really sad knives that make it really tricky to cook. No wonder you don't want to cook. Or the other thing I also see are these tiny chopping boards where, you know, you just have to, it's really hard to chop.
Exactly.
Vegetables.
So it's like a salad spinner, a sharp knife and a good bowl.
Oh, I love this. Okay, cool. What would you say is one thing you want nervous or anxious cooks to know?
The most important thing that I'd really like all people to know, regardless of where they are on the cooking spectrum, is that you are already a better cook than you think you are. And even just thinking about food is enough for you to start to build up your skills. So wherever you are, you can always get better. It's just about flying hours. It's just about stepping into the kitchen and cooking. And those nerves, that anxiety comes from a place of feeling like you need to kind of perform or you need to tick boxes or achieve or attain somebody else's level. So just let all of that go. You don't have to impress anyone. You don't have to tick off any kind of level of success. All it is serving up something for your loved ones or just for yourself and feeling accomplished.
I think a lot of people do fear failing in the kitchen. They feel like they spend all this money and time on ingredients, but I guess you're even brilliant chefs that failed, they've probably failed the most of anyone. So it's almost like there's a limiting idea is that you're not allowed to fail in the kitchen.
100%. That's it. You don't see chefs with hands, impeccable hands.
Exactly. On the podcast, we talk about this idea of intuitive eating. And I've seen you talk about this idea of intuitive cooking. What is it and how can intuitive cooking help us feel more confident in the kitchen?
Intuitive cooking is about listening to yourself and your tastes. So instead of cooking for somebody else's standards or somebody else's tastes, it's about tasting as you go and about tuning in with all of your senses. So whether that is using your eyes to watch a color change on a vegetable, like a lot of people overcook their green stuff, but if you just undercook it and then let it come to, you kind of, as soon as it changes color in the pot, you take it out and you let the residual heat finish it off. That can be built up. That intuition can be built up over time. The same goes for the smells. A burnt butter, for example, you know that once it starts to smell like cookies, you know, the butter melts, it foams, it starts to change color, smells like cookies, it's good to go. And so over time, you start to build up those little intuition points and you start to play and you go, hey, what happens if these cookies get a little bit darker? Does that add to flavor? Oh, no. Okay, well, that didn't work. Next time I won't have to. And you mentioned that people are afraid of failing in the kitchen because it's expensive or it takes time. That's another reason why I love vegetables, because they're a lower bar to entry. And the worst that could happen, let's say, is that you overcook it. And then all you need to do is kind of mitigate it with a bit more acid in your sauce or season a little bit more, taste it, add a bit more olive oil, and they won't even notice.
So what you're saying is being a lot more playful in the kitchen, rather than getting stuck in our head with all the rules about what we should or shouldn't be doing, is just kind of almost doing a little bit more experimentation.
That's exactly right. Have a play. Be playful. Go tap into your childlike self. Do some finger painting around the kitchen rather than feeling like you have to be a Michelin star chef, because even chefs can fail, and they often do. Sometimes the most amazing dishes come from that. Massimo Bottura talks about the oops, I dropped the lemon tart. And that's a dish that he's had on his menu, which is somebody in the kitchen dropped a tart. And it looked so beautiful on the ground or, on the plate that they decided they were going to make a whole dish out of it. So sometimes the happiest of accidents mean a whole new,
Divine. And I feel like in The Joy of Better Cooking, your new book, you are giving these little tips about almost helping us be intuitive and thinking about all the things we could be looking for. I do want to just turn our attention to this idea of helping kids eat more veggies. You're a parent, you used to be a teacher. I feel like you're a good person to be asking this about. Do you think the parents need to hide veg in their kids' food, or how can we help kids find the joy of cooking and eating vegetables?
I think the issue with hiding veg in food, and you would know this from, dietetics and nutrition, is that so much of helping kids to eat widely is about exposure. So if you're hiding the vegetable inside something, they're not really being exposed to it. And indeed, you're actually kind of doing them a disservice. You're saying that you don't trust them to want to taste it for themselves. So I'm a big fan of heroing the veg for kids and not making a big deal out of it, but I just wouldn't sort of sneak it in. I think all of that kind of language is implying that kids won't want to eat it themselves. The key is exposure, so multiple exposures from a really young age. In fact, if you're pregnant now, that's the time to start. Just be eating widely as many different vegetables, bitter vegetables particularly. And then when they're born and as they're learning to eat, putting that food in front of them in tiny little kind of no expectation tastes so that they can eventually start to learn to enjoy the flavors and see you eat it as well. That's the number one thing. So if you're hiding the veg, not only are they not learning that, I actually like carrots, they're also not seeing you eat carrots. So I'm all about heroing rather than sneaking or hiding when it comes to helping kids learn to love veg. And then not making a big deal of it, not sort of sitting there and going, look at you, you're eating vegetables. That's amazing. No, normalize the love of vegetables and just make it an everyday occurrence in your household. Yes, it takes time. Yes, it takes effort, but it's so worth it. I call it the hard, easy method, because later on in life, you're setting up a really great grounding for them to eat widely and nutritiously without feeling any of that stuff, without any of that wellness wankery.
That's it. And I feel like everything you're saying is so spot on, and I'll endorse everything you're saying. Also, the research backs up all the things you're saying, talking about frequent exposure. And I think often parents, we give up after a few goes, or maybe they go through phases where they eat something and then they don't want to eat it for a period of time. And so we think, oh, they don't like that anymore. In my mind, my kids, like they always eat these foods, and we just all go through seasons and preferences and flavor profiles that we enjoy more than others. And so it comes back into the menu really soon afterwards to give them another try. One of my theories, I think, with nutrition and food and kids and veggies is that we have become a little bit obsessed with creating really clean meals for kids, which is a wild idea anyway, but so much so that we're stripping the flavor from the food that we give to our kids, so that it's ticking all these nutrition boxes, but it's actually devoid of flavor. And I wonder, are we doing our kids a disservice by plating up vegetables that we ourselves would not be interested at all in eating? And wouldn't it be value in, you know, what if we added a little, yes, maybe we're adding a little more fat, you know, popping some Parmesan on top of our vegetables and baking it so that they're actually, yes, they're getting more sodium, they're getting a little more fat, but they're going to be more likely to eat that veggie and be a lot more interested in it. And I sometimes think you have these kids who absolutely detest vegetables because they're just bland. And then all they want to eat is chips and fish. And of course, that's all fried fish. And I reckon that's going to be a lot of kids, and that's cool as well. But I wonder if we can create a healthy relationship with food if they were plating up food that's packed full of flavor.
And taste is nutrition. You know, the studies are also showing that if we tap into our own, as you say, intuitive eating, into our own natural cravings, we crave fat, we crave umami, we crave salty, sweet, sour, but that doesn't have to come in ultra processed foods. It can come in that, you know, wok tossed broccoli with Parmesan and garlic and chili that's on our table and we love it. That's, you know, and if our kids grow up with that, then the next time that they eat potato crisps at a party and they taste them and they go, oh yeah, you know, I get that at home and I get it in roast potato form. And my, you know, my dad cooks that up and he puts so much pepper in and I love the heat. You know, give them more language to talk about food and give them more opportunity to appreciate the flavor. You know, one of the things that I love about veg as well is the color, the texture, the different, the variety of flavor bombs that you can create with all of that veg. You can't do that with white food. So let's set them up to win and let's set them up to expect more from every plate of food that's put in front of them.
Oh, Alice, you're always speaking my language. I love hearing all of this. And you know, it's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the podcast. I think you nail it. This book, which I devoured over the weekend, and I am the kind of person who reads a cookbook like a novel. It really helped me. I had people entertained on the weekend. And one of the things you talked about was keeping it really simple. Mm-hmm. And I did for the first time. The food was delicious. Everyone enjoyed themselves. I wasn't anxious and stressed about getting the food out in time. And I just think this book is something that I'd love everyone to read. It really does align with this whole No Wellness Wankery approach. It's about the love of food, and I'd love for everyone to check it out. Where can people grab your new book, The Joy of Better Cooking?
You can head online, thejoyofbettercooking.com. You can find it via my website, alice.recipes is all you need to pop into your search bar. And you can also find it at all good bookshops, gift stores, your local Kmart, Big W, Target. It will David Jones, Maya, you know, from people overseas in North America, it'll be out in the fall. For those in the UK, Australia and New Zealand and the Netherlands, you will have it on your shelves any day right now.
How delicious. How delicious. And I know a lot of people are also on Instagram. So your handle on Instagram is, what is it?
Alice in Frames. Like the glasses. Come and find me.
Go find Alice. She's divine. She's lovely. You're going to enjoy following her just like I do, hopefully. Alice, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, Lindy, thank you. It's been a joy.
Hey, I've got a question for you. Does binge eating feel like your dirty secret? And are you sick of trying to be good, but falling off the bandwagon and losing control around food? If so, I can help. Binge Free Academy teaches you how to beat binge eating and feel in control around food, giving you doable, evidence-based strategies. You'll get lifetime access to 30 practical step-by-step video lessons, 12 group coaching calls with me, and become part of my Binge Free Academy community for life. As a recovered binge eater, I get it. I know there's no quick fix or one-stop shop for binge eating. And so that's why I want to give you the ongoing support and care you need and deserve. And I'm so confident it will help you that I'm offering you a 30-day money-back guarantee. So no risk, all reward. You can take control over your food and your life. And I think it's the best investment you'll ever make towards reclaiming your life, your health, and your happiness. To learn more about Binge Free Academy, you can click the link in the show notes or go to lindycohen.com/binge-free-academy.